Hey, what is up, everyone? This is Gabe. I am once again walking in Bangkok, Thailand, and we have a very interesting episode of our podcast today where Coach Connor and I talk about what we did yesterday, which was pretty freaking crazy. We went on this short weekend trip to a little city a few hours north of Thailand and competed in a obstacle race, which was a ton of fun despite a lack of sleep. And so basically we wanted to give our audience some tips and insights on how we prepared for that race and sort of the mental and psychological as well as the physical and nutritional components of preparing for a race or a competition or whatever it may be. So I hope that you find it helpful. Please, if you have any questions, reach out to either of us and enjoy the episode. What's up? How are you doing?
I'm tired. It's been an eventful day.
Yeah.
Great day, but an eventful day.
We've been up for like 17, 18 hours now. It's only like 10 o'clock at night.
Yeah, I was awoken at 4 a.m. this morning. It was like Christmas Eve or something. I was awoken and Gabe was just walking around, pacing around the room. Honestly, I thought there was going to be toys around the room or something.
I was planning my domination for the race, you know? Got to get in the right mindset.
And it worked.
It worked.
For sure it did.
It paid off, so.
Gabe got first place overall out of 380,
yeah.
382 racers.
Something like that.
Yeah, which is.
But who's counting, you know? Yeah, and Connor.
I said I would say it because I knew he wouldn't say it on this himself.
That's true.
Good sign of modesty.
But and Connor was first in his age group too, so I'd say we came there and did what we needed to do.
We came, saw, and conquered.
That was it. And that's what we're going to touch upon today is the mindset before a competition, a race, even a hard workout, just getting into the right mental state and focus that you need to prepare yourself, because a lot of people may assume that it's just about the event, the workout, the race itself, but there's actually a lot that goes into it, both before and a little bit after as well. So yeah, let's start off and just kind of talk about today as an example. So
basically, if you're doing a race, if you're doing a workout, whatever it is, the first thing that you need to be thinking about is how you're going to fuel yourself during the day to get yourself ready. So if you're not hydrated, that's going to have a big impact on you. So I would say even the day of the race or the day of your workout is probably too late to hydrate yourself. You need to be hydrating yourself the day before, even 2 days beforehand, to get yourself, to get your pee that glass color.
Yeah, basically. It's very overlooked, and especially if it's any sort of endurance event, that's going to require a lot more stress on your body and your organs. So like Connor said, just getting the right nutrition is like critical for before that main event. Along with hydration, just proper nutrition as well. So making sure you're eating enough. If it is, again, if it's a longer endurance event, maybe consuming a few more carbohydrates than normal. That's a very popular term in the endurance world called carbo loading. Mm. It's basically that idea of just shuttling carbohydrates as like glycogen into the liver so that it can be used for competition. And again, it's not needed if it's like a shorter event or just a short workout, but if you know you're going out there and you're really gonna push it, it's gonna help a little bit to, you know, give yourself some extra energy where you need it.
Yeah, exactly. And nutrition is super important. and then coming closer towards the race, maybe at 20 minutes, 30 minutes before your race. So you have your body warmed up, we would say, with your hydration, with your nutrition. But then before a race, before a competition, before a gym, it's so important to get yourself warmed up. Now, again, warmed up is such a broad term. People have their 5 minutes on a treadmill or 10 minutes on a treadmill, and that's their warm up for everything, for a tennis match, for going to the gym, for doing CrossFit, for doing a race. But it really, what a warm up means is that you're getting your body and your mind ready for the exact type of competition that you're going to do. So if you're going into the gym and you're doing leg day, you need to warm up all of the muscles that you're going to be using during your leg day. If you're doing deadlifts, if you're doing squats, you need to be doing unweighted squats, unweighted deadlifts, getting your hamstrings warmed up, getting your quads warmed up. If you're doing an endurance race like we were doing today, you start your warm up by doing some running, some exactly the type of exercise you're going to be doing in your competition. Now, I think I didn't know this before I did the race, but again, Gabe, you're running is your thing. So what did you say? You do quarter of what you should do in a race?
Yeah, so just like a rule of thumb, if you are doing an endurance type event, like say it's a 5K or 10K, just taking that distance you're going to be racing and then warming up for roughly like a quarter. You know, maybe a quarter sounds like a lot, but enough so that your body is like primed and kind of ready to go. And that's usually going to take at least 10 minutes. So today, Connor and I raced 8K. We probably ran around for about 10 minutes or so. So, you know, roughly a quarter.
Even when we were doing that, I kept thinking in my head, I don't want to do this. I'm not going to be able to finish the race. But you know what? It does make sense. It really does. I won't say to get that second win, but to get yourself in the right mode for your actual race. And that's not only just getting your body ready for it. Doing the running and getting in that zone is completely psychological. It's preparing yourself mentally for what's going to come.
Yeah, exactly. It's priming the nervous system. So again, if you're going from 0 to 100, that's such a shock to the body. So just even for basic injury prevention, super critical that you do something to just get your body warmed up. And it does seem weird because you might think, oh, I'm wasting energy, I should just lie down before the competition. But in reality, you know, you need to move your body a bit. You don't have to go full out, but just a few movements here and there is really going to help you. And like what Connor said, to get into that mindset, I think it helps to know that you are capable and that you're feeling good. It's not like you're sick to your stomach. You might have some butterflies. You might be a little bit nervous, but that's a good sign. That's just adrenaline. That's going to kick in right when the gun goes off or right when you start the workout.
And you more so than me were very mentally prepared for the race. I was at the side at one stage and you were like a grasshopper going around the place, just buzzing. You had it's what seemed like a ritual that you always do, and you just seemed to know exactly what was going to happen and how the race was going to go before it even started. And for me, I had an idea of what I wanted to do, but I think you were more concise or more detailed in your plan of how to do it, and it obviously paid off.
Yeah, I mean, I have the experience, so I'm lucky with that, and not a lot of people may have that background. So I would say, don't worry if you don't. Like, it takes time, and especially, especially if you're completely new to working out or exercise in general, you just have to know that it builds on itself. So for me, like today with this race, I had an idea of how I wanted it to go, and I played out a few scenarios in my head. And in those few minutes before the race, I just got my body ready in the way that I know it'll need to be ready. And it kind of worked like clockwork. So that's how it should go for you, ideally. And again, things might not always go the way you plan it. So you have to be ready for other scenarios to come into play, but it really helps just to get the mind pumped up. And it's a really overlooked part of any physical feat that you're about to do. So even if you're going into the gym and, you know, maybe running's not your thing, but you're doing weightlifting, like Connor said, you can't just get under a bar and start. Like, you have to get your mind ready to know you're about to take on this heavy load, and you're going to have to exert yourself, and there's going to be some mental focus. And
yeah, you don't have to be one of those people in the gym that's like, oh, but you know what I mean. You got to be preparing yourself for lifting that stuff. It doesn't mean you go in and walk around the gym like you're the Hulk, or you're like, you're what's that guy, Steven Seagal, is it?
Yeah.
You don't have to walk around like you own the place, but there's a certain degree of preparation just, mentally, that has to go into it.
Yeah, it basically boils down to creating a ritual. That's what we're really getting at. So having some sort of intact routine, both physically and psychologically, in place for you is really critical, and is something that a lot of people, especially if they've never had a coach or never taught, and I would never have known it if I had never had like a coach for running or a coach for teaching me some exercises in the gym.
Yeah, that ritual is I had completely forgotten about it, but when I was back in Ireland, we played this game called hurling. It's a Irish sport, but my ritual with my three friends on the team, we would play in this sports field, and every time before a game, we would know an exact place on the road when we were driving in the car, and we would always put on, what is that song? Such a small town girl.
Oh, yeah.
What is
that? In a
lonely world. What is that song called?
The midnight
train girl.
Oh, what is that? Yeah. We're going to feel really stupid not knowing this song.
Yeah, someone please tell us what the name of it is. But we would play that song at a specific point on the road, and by the time we got to the field, that song would be over. And it was like, it was something that we always had. And the same people would go in the same car, sit in the same seats. And it wasn't like superstitious, but it was a ritual. It didn't mean that if we didn't play that song that we wouldn't win. It just felt like we were getting in the zone, or things were coming into place. And I don't know if anybody else has any rituals like that. Some people have strange rituals, but there's a big difference between rituals and superstition.
Yeah.
Superstition is something that can really affect you negatively, but getting in the zone and having a ritual, a ritual can't really affect you negatively.
Right.
It's only a pathway to getting you into the mindset of what's going to happen in the coming moments or the coming hours.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think a big thing for people who are newer to this, or newer to, you know, exercise or competition or whatever it may be, is just knowing that the mind plays a huge part at the beginning, both in the preparation leading up to, and then also in the middle of whatever you're doing. So there's going to come a point in time where in the middle of that race or that workout, you are going to feel like you are completely done in, and you've hit the wall. Your lactic acid buildup is through the roof. You're panting, you can't breathe, you're sweating. Like, it feels like you are on the verge of collapse. And a lot of people, it takes practice to know where that pain threshold is. There's a very fine line between overexertion and not performing to your capability. But to find that line, you do really have to push, move the needle, I think is the expression, move the needle in that direction to really learn where it is. And having the right mindset going into that part of whatever you're doing, super critical. And that goes to what I want Connor to talk a little bit about, which is like positive self-talk or affirmations. Or what did you do that during the race today? Were you speaking to yourself, or how were you pushing through some of the pain?
Yeah. I suppose after the first 5 minutes in the race, I was I was fucked. I'd ran out and I thought, okay, I'm doing well. And then after like 1 kilometer, I felt like I was dead.
Yeah.
But you're in the race, and it's such a nice feeling to have that constant mental battle. Like, I don't feel like a race, an 8K race or whatever you're doing, I don't feel like it's much, I won't say not much to do with your physical strength or your physical ability. I think it's more to do with your mental state and how you approach things, because within a race or within a competition, no matter what it is, you're going to find that somewhere along the line, there's going to be a point where your brain is trying to convince you to stop and to give up. And you've got to, it's a constant, it's like a fight with your brain, or you're making bargains with it. I kept telling myself during the race, okay, we're going to get to here and then I'll take a stop. And then I'd get to there and I'd say, okay, no, I'm going to the next one and I'm taking a stop. And I was saying this out loud to myself as well. And the guy behind me and the guy in front of me, I kept looking behind and I would say to myself, he's not going to pass me out, or I'm going to get this guy. Sometimes it would be out loud, sometimes not. But you've got to, it's a strange feeling where you've got to make extreme short-term goals within a competition. For if it's in a game, let's say a football game, your short-term goal, if you're down by one goal, would be, okay, I've got to get a goal right here, right now, in the next 5 minutes, or else something bad is going to happen. Similar with basketball. If it's in an 8K race like we did today, your very, very short-term goal and your quick thinking needs to be, okay, this guy in front of me, I'm going to pass him out, and then we'll see what happens after that. And I feel like it's a series of 5 minute goals, and those goals are just battles with your mind. And I think without those mini goals in competitions, I think it's very, very difficult to have success.
Yeah, it's not only difficult, it's just overwhelming. You're like you said, your mind can just get ahead of you. And I think it's a useful tactic to do what you just said, which is like break it down into little series throughout the race or the competition. Or like what I did today is my shoes kept coming undone, and so I'd be running and they'd be slipping off my feet, and I just kept telling myself, like, lift, that was what I said, just lift, which is stay light on your feet, get to the next obstacle, take a break, relax, tie your shoes, then move on. And for me, for whatever reason, that word just popped into my head, I just kept repeating it, and it helped me to the end. So I think help, you know, if you're listening to this and you can think of a few words that you can kind of tuck into your back pocket, so then when those times come in the competition or in the race or in the workout, you know, we're talking about a race, it can definitely be in a workout too. If you are doing repetitions of any degree, you're going to want to stop at some point. So being able to tap into this mental energy source that you have in your body to grind out another rep or whatever it is a very useful skill.
Yeah, that's exactly it. And you see certain players or certain players in football and different sports, on their wrist they will have something written down. And I'll be honest, before I would look at these people and think, that is just
stupid.
Yeah, right? That's just stupid. What are they doing writing something on their wrist? But it really does make sense. It only needs to be one word, and that's all it is, and it has such a powerful effect. And I know we're looking around my room right now, and I went to 7-Eleven yesterday.
You bought all the sticky notes in Bangkok.
Oh, I've thousands of them. So all on these sticky notes, I have little things written down. I have, what do I have? I have how much money I want to make. I have some little mantras and my values and stuff. And even I'm looking at them now and I'm thinking, they're stupid. But it really does make a difference, because you're seeing it all the time. And it, within a competition, even if you see it once or twice, it's amazing how much of a kick that gives you. It's really powerful, for sure it is. And with that in mind, when a time in a race or wherever gets really tough,
and you're at breaking point, when you finish the competition, it feels so good. I remember finishing today, and I was just beaming with a smile because I'd forgotten what it felt like to be in such a position where I just wanted to give up and then didn't. And it's like a little win. Or it's not a little win, it's a very big win, and it's really, how do I say, what word would I use to describe it?
Rewarding.
Rewarding. It's really, really rewarding.
Yeah, it's one of the best feelings in the world, honestly, and it's something that I truly wish other people could experience, because I know there's a lot of people out there who, for many reasons, and a lot of them are not anyone's fault, but just have never been in that mindset. They haven't experienced that feeling of finishing a workout or a race, and it's beautiful, really. Because like you said, you're engaged in this like mental and physical
warfare,
and just to conquer it and really get through it is you have such an appreciation for, like, life just becomes a little brighter just in that moment. Like, you cross the line or you finish it and you're, everything is just better.
it's like this documentary or this podcast I was listening to recently. It was David Goggins on Joe Rogan, and they talked about David Goggins staying at this celebrity's house, Jesse Itzler. I think he's the owner of a baseball team or a ice hockey team or something like that. And David Goggins' mantra was to do something that sucks every day. And one day, David Goggins made this guy jump into a freezing lake. And him and David Goggins were running back to his house. And his wife said to David Goggins, what is the medical benefit of this? And he said, there's no benefit of this. There's no medical benefit of this at all. I just wanted to see how far he's willing to go. Mm. And that to me, it just stuck with me. It was sometimes you might do a workout or you might do a race or whatever. And particularly for a workout, I would say, there mightn't actually be any benefit to an exercise or to a finisher, we'll say. But it's getting you to that place where you don't want to go anymore, but you push yourself and you get beyond a certain psychological point. And I think that for me, that has more benefits than actually doing the work in the gym itself. It's the psychological aspect of it is unparalleled, basically.
Yeah, it doesn't, like, to me, I kind of think like it doesn't really box you in either, because sometimes when you're in some sort of involved in some sort of physical activity, it's very easy to label yourself as like, oh, I'm the power lifter, I'm the runner, I'm the CrossFitter, I'm the gymnast, whatever it is. And I think what you're kind of getting to is like when you break out of that mold and do something a little bit different, or if you're in the gym and you're just changing your routine or adding this finisher, like you said, there might not be the physical benefit to whatever your main mode of competition or sport is, but just for that mental preparation, I think it helps a lot. And that's something I'm very conscious of too, is not labeling myself as just a runner, just a, I don't know, gym bro, whatever. Yeah. like whatever it is, like just kind of being more open. And I think in the last few races I've done, it's like mentally it's just helped a lot.
Yeah, it's for sure nice to try different things. I know it is nice to specify in one, or to, because it's hard to focus on everything. You can't be good at everything and you spread yourself thin. But at the same time, it is nice to know a lot of things. It's nice to go in and learn something that you've never done before. If you're doing something that you're good at constantly, you're never going to grow. You should always be trying to find something, not always, but quite often try and find something that you're not so good at and learn about that. Sure. It's nice to be a beginner at some stage. And even on that point, I wouldn't be afraid of being a beginner, even in the gym.
Yeah.
Because no matter where people are at, any of these bodybuilders, you just got to remember they were a beginner once.
Totally.
It's not a, it's not uncommon for people to try and lift extremely heavy when they begin in the gym because they don't want to look bad. But you just got to be a little brave and just accept it.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So let's wrap this up and break it down for people. Maybe just a few simple kind of steps to creating that ritual for themselves, be it a race or competition. Like what would you start with? Like, let's bring someone from like the start right up to the beginning of the competition.
Get up at 4 a.m.
Yeah, follow us. Don't sleep. Get up right at before sunrise. No, but actually that is a good point, is like getting up in adequate time. Like, don't just get up and run out the door. Have a little time to prepare yourself, do what you need to do. Ideally, you'll have some things set out if it's a morning competition, so you're not going to stress yourself out rushing, and just kind of cooling the mind, I would say. Just getting into a nice state where you're a little bit anxious, a little bit nervous, but it's that good, you know, that good kind of energy. It's not like very flustered.
Yeah. Once you get to your competition or your race, then warming up with the exercises that you're going to be using in your competition or a race, and then preferably dynamic stretching rather than static stretching. If you've got generally very tight muscles or a specific muscle that's tight, yeah, static stretching is fine, but in general terms, dynamic stretching is the way to go. And then after that,
yeah, I would say having a few mental kind of like words or affirmation picked out beforehand is going to be helpful. So knowing that you're going to be hurting in that competition or in that race, and just having a few helpful words or phrases to pick out that you can use,
and knowing that that point is going to come,
yeah,
whereby the battle is on, the battle of the brain is on, and kind of reveling in it, waiting for it to come, and really being excited for you to
definitely
to really push yourself and get beyond the barriers, not just of the race, but beyond the barriers of your mind.
Yeah, definitely.
Sounds so philosophical.
there's a lot. There's a lot of psychology behind it. People study this like very in depth. So when you're at that point and you're kind of everything's your body's warmed up, you feel like you're in the right mental state, I would say just make sure that your breathing is relatively under control. So taking a few deep breaths, you're going to be in that sympathetic state, but just trying to calm the mind. Your heart rate might be a bit elevated, but just feeding off that energy, getting excited, not letting it get to your head too much. A lot of times, I mean, I remember having some teammates in high school or college, that energy would come back to haunt them because they wouldn't know how to handle it, and it would just kind of eat at them. So then when the gun went off, they would just quickly slip behind, even if they knew they were fit enough. So just being under control, breathing, doing a bit of stretching, like Connor said.
Yeah. And with this race that we're talking about constantly today, no, it's not an Olympic race. It's not the World Championships. It's not a major event.
It's a race in Thailand, yeah. Simple race.
A simple race in Thailand. But in saying that, that doesn't mean you shouldn't be competitive in it. Yeah. No matter how big or how small the race is, not everybody is going to be a professional athlete. But for me, and I know for you, Gabe, and probably for a lot of you listeners as well, these competitions, they are quite big and they do mean a lot. So don't let anybody kind of put the competition down
it for granted.
Yeah, it's still important. It's no matter how big or how small it is, it's all about a personal win and a personal gain. And I get it, some people are not competitive, but if you're competitive, don't be shy about being competitive.
Definitely.
I think it's a very important thing. I think it's, people are trying to kill competition almost these days. And for me, it's an important way to realize what you, it's an important way to to celebrate your success. If you win, if you don't win, it's an important way to learn how you could do better. Or even in these races, it's all about your score and you competing against yourself. And it's a good way for you to develop and progress, and it's a nice way to spend your Sunday.
Absolutely. And I think it just cultivates more self-awareness too. Like, you're never going to know where that threshold is for you if you haven't really put all the effort out there. So just having that benchmark is going to be really helpful. And on that note, I would say, like, start small too. If you're don't enter the biggest race in your city if you've never run one before. Like, start with a local 5K in your neighborhood or some smaller competition. Just get your feet wet, get a feel for it, and push yourself in that. And if you do relatively well, then you're going to be on a bigger stage and you'll at least have that experience. I think a lot of it is having some experience to tap into as well.
And having people to do it with. You know, there's no way that I would have ran as fast as I did today, or you would have, if there was nobody else there.
Sure.
Even if it was the two of us, we still would have ran very fast because we would have been competing against each other. But if you're doing it on your own, yeah, it's nice to get that exercise, but it is nice to have people around you. Yes, people around you to support you, but the same people to be your competitors as well.
Definitely.
And that's a super important thing. I don't think it's that easy to do things on your own, whether it's go to the gym or whether it's do running. It takes a lot of mental fortitude. It's very important to surround yourself with people who have the same mindset and who have the same goals as you as well. It just pushes you on, and you might look, if you're on a weight loss journey, you might look at Susie down the road who's lost 4 kg in 3 weeks and you've only lost 2. And you know, it doesn't really matter what she's lost, but then you have that competition in your head and it's not the be all and the end all of who wins, and it's not really a game, but it's still something that might drive you on even further.
Yeah, exactly. yeah, just like to that point, you know, having the groups around you, whether it be like physical or online, but some positive reinforcement is super helpful. So if you aren't already, what I would challenge you to do today is to sign, you know, either go on like meetup.com, you can look on Facebook, but just adding yourself into a few groups of some challenges you'd like to take on. So maybe you've had in the back of your head this idea of running a race and you've never run a race. There are so many groups out there that you can join where people are posting about their training, their preparation, and just reading and consuming that content and knowing that people are going through that journey with you is so, so helpful. I can't stress that enough. That's something I've been doing a little bit here in Bangkok too. When I got back into running last year, I remember one of the first groups I joined was Bangkok runners, and just kind of seeing what they were doing and reading some of the comments. It's just helpful to get in that mindset. So just that's a tip. And if you want to take it one step further, I would challenge you to sign up for something. And it doesn't have to be next week or next month, even like half a year down the road. But just try to commit to something that at like right now sounds almost undoable. Like it's not for everyone. I get that. That's going to scare some people. But I think that there's something to be said about just like putting yourself out there with a competition, especially, and like
having that accountability as well. It's easy to say you're going to do something.
Oh man, yeah.
But unless you make yourself accountable, I won't say it doesn't always happen, but quite regularly it doesn't happen for me, especially same. If my friends ask me to go somewhere, I would say yeah. But there's no real accountability. But if my friends ask me to go to a race this weekend, or if my friends ask me to go to a concert, the accountability is that I buy the ticket and I've paid the money, and then I have to go. And that's like set in stone that it's going to happen. So again, your intentions might be great. Now I'm going to do this run on Monday. Make it accountable. And how you can do that, you don't have to book a race online. It can be, you can just text one of your friends and say, okay, let's do it Monday morning or at 9 a.m. Or you can book the race if you want. Just arrange something that means you've put yourself out there and it would be difficult for you to go back on your word almost.
Sure. Very useful strategy. So anyway, let's wrap this up. I hope that you guys got some value out of that and just understand that anytime you see race results, there's a lot more behind numbers. And what is usually left out of the story is what we talked about today, which is just the whole mind game and the whole mental preparation, not just during, but before, even the day before, the proper nutrition, hydration, the accountability, the words of affirmation, everything we touched upon is a lot more that goes into it than you might assume.
Yeah.
And take it to heart and try to practice some of these. So, you know, take it and run with it.
Yeah,
exactly. Literally.
Ba-dum-bum. Hey, yeah, I hope you enjoyed. And yeah, if you've got any questions on anything at all, yeah, just drop us a message.
All right, we'll see you on the next podcast. Thanks so much. Hey, it's Gabe here again. To find out more about me or the coaching I provide, please visit the website www.stayfit.asia and check out my Instagram at Gabe Heck. And to find out more about Coach Connor, please visit his Instagram at Coaching Inside Out. And he has a website that is in the works and coming back to life soon. Thanks so much again. We'll see you on the next episode.
Hey everyone, I'm Coach Connor.
Coach Gabe.
And welcome to our fifth podcast, I think it is.
Something like that.
Yeah, so I think it's about time that we actually introduce ourselves properly, where we're from, what our philosophy is on about fitness and about health, and basically everything.
Yeah, we want to introduce our new brand as well, so we have come up.
Yeah, we just came up with the name today, actually. And we'd love to hear your thoughts on it. So I put up a post on Facebook the other day, just talking about a workout that was specifically designed just for your psychological benefit rather than your actual physical benefit. Because me and Gabe did a workout last week, which Gabe designed.
That was brutal.
Which I don't think I've ever done a workout as hard, and I couldn't tell you what the physical benefits of it are. Well, there probably was a lot, but really it was something that was incredibly difficult. Yeah. And so I just decided that I'd write a post about it, about a workout that was solely based on benefiting you mentally. And so I called it the Unbreakable Mind workout. So it's one that really makes your mind unbreakable, that brings you places in a workout or whatever it is that you're at breaking point, and then it just makes you a better person, and how that can translate into everything in life and how you train yourself to have an unbreakable mind and this kind of stuff. And we'd been looking for a name for our company, or the way we're going to go with our health and fitness. So I just decided Unbreakable Health might be a pretty decent name.
I think it's great. I mean, not to like toot our own horns here, but I think for us, like, it really does fit the general philosophy on wellness and good living. So it's not just about trying to live a life where you're surviving and not really doing much, but actually trying to thrive and get what you can out of your own body and your own mind, your mindset, your physical health, your spirituality, just a more kind of holistic approach, so that when the going gets tough, because undoubtedly life throws curveballs at you, you have a grounded, stable character, and I'm not trying to search for the words, but
yeah, I know exactly what you mean. It's
I think the fitness industry or the health and fitness industry in general is a strained industry. It focuses on your correct deadlift technique, and you're not activating a certain muscle when you're doing your squats. When, yes, obviously that's important to gain muscle and to have a lovely figure, but it doesn't really focus at all on how you're going to train your brain, how you're going to train your mind, and how you're going to just train your whole psychology. And yeah, it does to a certain extent, and certain trainers do focus on it. But for us, I think our philosophy is based around that is your main catalyst. If you don't have the correct mindset, if you don't have good habits, if you're not a positive thinker, if you're not chasing fear or chasing that element of success, that it's very hard for any of these areas to actually follow. If you don't have good habits, you're not going to get to the gym, let alone know how to do a deadlift. If you don't have a good positive mindset, maybe you're not going to feel that you're going to achieve anything, and you won't stick to what you're trying to do, or you won't even see where you want to go, and you'll be at a random crossroads.
Yeah. Like, if you don't have a good relationship with yourself, it's going to make things so much more challenging. And I think a lot of us really do struggle with certain insecurities. And when those challenges occur, the best thing that someone can have is a grounded, stable mindset to know that they're going to be able to get through those hardships. And that's what being unbreakable is really all about. And so with that, let's just get into it a bit. Maybe, Connor, you want to start and talk a bit about your own, little bit, just like a few minutes on your own backstory or just your general thoughts on sort of, you touched on it before, fitness industry, health and wellness, all of this.
Yeah, well, I was originally a PE teacher and an Irish language teacher, but then I moved over to Thailand 6 years ago, and well, nobody really wanted to study Irish language. So I was a PE teacher for quite a while, for 4 years. And then I never found that I really wanted to be involved in just coaching volleyball or coaching football. It was more the psychology of it that really interested me. I always liked training football teams when I was in there, not because I was an excellent trainer, because I wasn't, but it was more so trying to deal with how, because I was coaching 15-year-old boys football, and it was more of how certain individuals or how certain players reacted during games, if they went a goal down, how certain players would be, and that's really what I observed most of the time, not the physical side of the training, although I was well equipped to coach that. It was more the whole psychology of it that I was really interested in. So I just decided to quit teaching and get more involved in human psychology and habits and lifestyle. And I made some big changes in my own life as well. And basically that was something I was fascinated about, and I felt like I wanted to help people as much as possible. So I did this lifestyle coaching course, and then started to get involved with life coaching. And basically, life coaching is not really what people think it is, because some of my friends had asked me, or not asked me, basically taunted me and said, who do you think you are trying to coach somebody how to live their own life?
Yeah, yeah. Some guy in his 20s thinks he knows everything.
It's like classic millennial stuff. It's like, oh, this guy is preaching. He's got, you should do this, you should do that. But that's not really what it's about at all. It, just because I'm a lifestyle coach doesn't mean I've got the perfect life. It basically means that I'm clear on what I want, or I'm clear on where I want to go. And the job of a lifestyle coach is to help people become clear on where they want to go. In one area of the course that I did, they brought up a great point that you should never really take advice off anybody, which was something that was really strange to me, because I thought, well, that's kind of stupid, essentially. But it's the truth, really. You should listen to people's opinions and listen to them, and obviously success leaves a trail and maybe follow that trail. But ultimately, at the end of the day, you got to trust your own gut feeling. Take into account what other people are saying, but it's you who got to figure out where it is you want to go or what you want to do. So the job of a life coach is essentially to unlock that and unlock it through questions that you ask yourself, or through questions that I have that I'm going to ask you, through visualization and through creating certain habits that will help you find clarity, or help you find where it is you want to go. And ever since I did that, it's had like a domino effect. I did the personal training course, and I started working with people, training them in a gym. And again, the same thing, I found it was not, the big differences weren't made in how to do a correct bicep curl, or whether you're drinking 5 gallons of water or 5.2 gallons of water. They're small details, significant details, but small details in comparison to the bigger problems, like how you're going to get to the gym, how you're going to actually change your nutritional habits, and how you see yourself in the future and knowing where you want to go. The gym side of it is just a bonus for me. Now, maybe not everybody shares that opinion, but for me, it's a bonus if you have a six pack. It's a bonus if you're able to lift 250 kg in a deadlift. It's a great achievement, and it's something that, it's a good reward to have, but it's something that's a bonus. It can't compare to longevity of life, having more time for your family, being able to think positive, having clear goals, knowing where you want to go in life, and just enjoying the little things. And again, that doesn't mean to say that I possess every trait that is there, or I'm clear on all of these things, but it's really enjoyable for me to have a job where I can actually help people do that. It's nice working with people online and working with people in person, just to share that knowledge that I have, or basically try and help as many people as I can. That's the reason I got into it anyway. So I think that long, maybe 5 to 10 minute, talking nonsense. But
it's really important. I mean, you already said it before, like, everyone has their own reality and their own experiences. So, you know, even if you might not take someone's advice completely 100%, you're going to be able to synthesize what they say and then, like, directly take some of the good things or some of the applicable things and put it in your own life. And it sounds like you obviously know what you're talking about. You're fully trained. You have a good methodology. You have a good systematic approach. I know you've personally helped dozens, if not hundreds, of people. And so it's, you know, you practice what you preach. You're being modest. I think you live compared to the average guy out there, you're a healthy individual. And I think you embody sort of the message that you bring to the table, which is really cool.
Thank you, Gabe. That's a very nice thing to say.
Well, it's, you know, just looking around and seeing, I've spent some time with you now, it's cool to have someone like that, because, like, for me, so if I want to talk just a few minutes about this idea of, like, unbreakable health, for me, that means, that's, like, very personal, because I think for a lot of my life, I felt like I was broken in many areas, and I never figured out how to put all the pieces together. So even when I was a competitive athlete growing up, I always had trouble with areas like anxiety, which I didn't even know was a thing. I had no idea what anxiety was until a doctor explained it to me in my early 20s, but I really suffered from that, and that led to a lot of insomnia, digestive disorders, a lot of like health problems that all sort of were swept under the rug because I was an athlete, and that was sort of, that is what is embraced by society. So it's the same way, like Connor was saying, that we lead with the idea of like a six pack or a really heavy lift as like a way to get people in the door in fitness. But at the end of the day, that's not what matters. Like, what matters is actually your mindset and your relationship with yourself. And so for me, it's nice to be able to learn the things you have learned and actually package it and can really apply it in a way that is sustainable long term. Because another problem, especially like on the nutrition end, is just all the diets you see marketed out. Yeah. On keto, vegan, like all of these are cool, and I've tried a lot of different things. I think it's good to experiment on yourself, but at the end of the day, you do need to find something that works, and nutrition is very personalized. So if you learn some basics, you can then tweak it to apply it to your lifestyle, and generally that's going to lead you down a really successful road and help your health quite a bit.
The fitness industry is almost like a fashion industry.
Yeah.
There's different trends all the time.
Yeah,
like, when, for a while, and maybe it's still the trend, but for a while, keto was the massive thing to do. Everybody was
still
doing
is,
it.
Yeah.
People were trying it. Yeah, it still is to an extent. And then, like, lots of people that I know were like, oh, are you doing keto? Because I'm doing keto.
Yeah.
And then I would ask them, okay, what are you doing? And they were like, I haven't had a carb in 2 weeks. And then that was keto for most people. And then 2 weeks later, then I would ask, are you still doing keto? No, man, no, my stomach is in bits, or I can't do it anymore. It just doesn't work. I don't like keto, but...
Back to the pizza and podcasts.
Yeah, exactly. And most of them, 90% of them weren't doing keto right.
Right.
But they consider it the keto diet, but there should be no such thing as a keto diet. It's a keto lifestyle almost.
For sure.
It's just some things you do and some things you don't do. Diet just insinuates short term.
Yeah, totally. I mean, like, if you want to do fitness properly, it's really like self. It's like a journey to like explore more about yourself, because I think a lot of us don't. It's really painful to actually go through that process and like peel back the layers and like dissect your broken mindsets and your habits and your. It's very uncomfortable, and like I struggle with it a lot, even though I try to be critical of myself. But it's like you have so many self-limiting beliefs, and just even labeling is a big thing. So like standing in front of the mirror and saying to yourself, like, I'm a person who's worthy of these changes, that can be a big starting point for someone. And the goal, I think, is to get to this point where you can truthfully say to yourself, like, I am this unbreakable, or I'm this grounded individual where I know that I have control of my health as best as I can, and I'm not struggling with the problems that, you know, were plaguing me before.
Yeah.
And the insecurities. So
exactly. And like, the great thing about that is, like, with you saying that you were suffering from anxiety and various different things, it's the point of the unbreakable health is that, like, and it's so amazing that you kind of realized that you had an issue, or realized that you had a problem, and instead of actually complain about it and stay at one side and not address it, you actually just went and just got to the root of the problem, probably struggled through it a little bit.
Sure.
Had to go through things and probably was at a real low point, but that's exactly how you get to the unbreakable mind. It's not, or the unbreakable health. It's not something that comes easy. And it's, you see, this is the thing. It's not meant to be easy. You know, I listen to lots of motivational videos, and they always say, if it was easy, everybody would be doing it.
Definitely.
It's not meant to be easy. What you should be doing is embracing the struggle, or embracing the fear. And that probably sounds a little pessimistic, but it's the truth. Because when you embrace your fear, or you embrace struggle, then it doesn't really become struggle anymore.
Yeah.
It becomes, you get that feeling
even when you're doing, when you're embracing the struggle, you should be fearful and afraid almost, but somewhere in there you start to feel like, I really, this is the right thing to do.
Yeah.
And you get an uplifting feeling before, during, and especially after.
Yeah, totally. I what you just said, I think of though, going back to like the workout we did on the weekend, because that was how I was feeling during it. It was like, how am I actually going to get through this? Like,
yeah.
We basically did this very high intense circuit. And I think it's true with fitness is like people just label themselves something and they fall into that routine. Like, oh, I'm a bodybuilder, I'm a runner, I'm a swimmer, and then you just stick to that activity. But we just kind of did a lot of different things at once.
It's the most difficult workout I think I've ever done.
Yeah, but it's like you come, like at least I felt like I came out of that feeling like almost this euphoric high where it's like I just got through that. Like I'm a better person because of it in some way.
And it's not like we've just scaled a giant mountain or we've been the first people to land on the moon, but because that was the Americans, or was it the Russians?
No.
No, because
America.
maybe debatable.
Yeah, true.
But you know, it's not insignificant is what I'm trying to say.
Definitely.
Yeah, it's not landing on the moon or whatever, but it is a little win, and it's a training session, not just to make us feel exhausted, but it's a training session on how you overcome things and how you deal with certain things in a struggle, because it translates. Yes, it's fitness, and yes, it's a workout, but it translates to every single little thing in your life. And the more you experience these things, whether it's in a gym, whether it's at home, whether it's in work, the more you go through something that you know is going to be a struggle and you know is going to be awful, the more you go through that, the more unbreakable you become.
Oh, it's true. But it's like willpower. Like it's an actual muscle you need to exercise. So if you're just stuck in your own little comfort zone, you have to think of ways creatively in different aspects of your life to break out of that and to move to a different, to expand that level of comfort so that you're actually actively seeking discomfort in your life, which I think a lot of people, we're not indoctrinated, like society does not indoctrinate us to believe that you need to seek that out. It's almost the opposite. Like the goal is just have a nice, cushy, comfortable life. But I think what people miss out on is ultimately they get to that point and they're not satisfied. Like at the core level, their health is a mess, and yeah, maybe they made some money, but a lot of people just are not feeling good about themselves or their life.
Yeah, it's like this phrase I heard the other day. I'm not going to say who it was because he's a controversial figure. But what he says is you should seek responsibility and not happiness. Maybe you've heard that quote before or not, but
was that Jesus?
I think it was Jesus, yeah. Maybe Joseph. No.
Yeah, there you go.
But it was really interesting to me because I had to step back and think about it for a second. And I was thinking, well, why can't I seek happiness?
Yeah, yeah.
But then really, when you look at it, it's you seek responsibility. When you're happiest at most. Does that make sense? You're most happy.
Yeah, most happy.
You're most happy when you're actually responsible for something.
Yeah.
If you've nothing to be responsible for or nobody to be responsible for, yeah, you might be happy if you win a game of pool. But is that really happiness?
For sure.
Not really. Responsibility is real happiness, and that's why people who have kids, people who have partners, people who have people to take care of, basically are very happy people. And they say that the most selfish thing in the world is to take care of somebody else, which is another phrase that I agree with. So yeah, basically that's it.
Yeah, it makes sense. I mean, it's just coming up with creative ways to apply these principles in our life, which if you follow along, we're going to be talking a lot more about and coming up with some courses to release in the next couple of weeks and months. So please stay tuned for that. We look forward to delivering the best information we can and just getting more people to a state of better unbreakable health.
Yeah, so if you have something that you want us to talk about, because again, this is the reason we talk about this kind of stuff, and we've done 4 podcasts, I think now. The reason we talk about this stuff is because it's something that's really interesting for us. We didn't start off doing this podcast to get millions of followers. It was more, we used to hang out in front of the building and just have chats like this with another person who you will come across.
Guest appearance.
A controversial guest figure.
He'll be here.
So we used to have these conversations about like where we're going in life and immigration and equality and all this kind of stuff. And we haven't got to those topics yet, and we probably won't either. But who knows? But we used to have these conversations for hours about just about all of this kind of stuff. And we were like, we should make a podcast. And then lo and behold, we did. So if it resonates with people, great. If not, we're still going to keep doing them anyway, because it's interesting for us to hear about. But yeah, again, I hope you like it, and yeah, stay tuned.
Stay tuned, definitely. We'll see you on the next one.
Yeah, good luck. All right,
peace out, yo.
How long was that? Hey everyone, Coach Connor here.
Yo, Coach Gabe.
And today we're going to be talking a little bit about mindset, and in particular, our values. So, with that in mind, the first thing I suppose we need to talk about is differentiating between values and goals. So, for a lot of people, these two are actually the same thing. But there is one big difference between values and goals. So the difference is that goals are something that are finite, something that you set and hopefully achieve. But values are like moral codes, and they're infinite. You don't achieve them, you just live your life by those rules or guidelines, I suppose. Like one that comes to mind is like the Three Musketeers, All for One. Is that the motto?
Well, all for one, one for all.
All for one, one for all. It's like a nice value to have.
Some would say it's unbreakable, right?
Yeah, some would say it's an unbreakable value, exactly. And then with these values, I suppose they determine everything that you're going to do in your life. They're like a map. And more so, they're like signposts on a map. Mm. Signposts that you put there so that when a decision is there to be made, these signposts are going to guide you in the way that suits you best. But again, the most important part is to actually find out what is on these signposts, or what are your values. Now, I think most people in general, they have a set of values anyway, but I'm not sure if they're clear on what they are. Think about it. Everybody makes decisions based on what they're thinking, or based on what they feel is best for them. Now, you might make a decision without thinking about it, but your natural instinct, I suppose, becomes your value. Now, you got to ask yourself the question, what are your values? So, I don't know, Gabe, can you give me an example of what one of your values might be? Or are you there yet?
Well, so yeah, before that, I also have a question about this. And that is like, with values, how do you think that's different from like beliefs? And do you think that values change over the course of your life? Or are they more, once you decide that what they are, it's like a sticking point and it's no turning back? Like how rigid is your value system?
I would say not rigid at all.
Okay.
Because again, as we all grow older, I think our values change. I don't think my values when I was 13 years old are the same as what they are now that I'm 28. Although some of them might be similar.
Yeah.
But they've changed ever so slightly. So I would say, for a lot of people, I would say your values to an extent will be the same, but allow for tweaking and changing them slightly. But in saying that as well, some people get that light bulb moment.
Yeah.
That light bulb moment where they feel, oh no, I've changed my values. I've actually been living by the wrong values all the time. And then their values change. So yeah, they're changeable essentially.
Yeah, I totally agree. Because I think to that point, if I think about my own life and some of the values that I have now are completely different from even just a few years ago. And obviously a big one is prioritizing my health and well-being. I didn't really view that as something very important, and especially back in like university days where I was very committed to like running and athletics. But when it came to thinking about health in terms of like my mental stability, my emotional health, my social like friend groups, there are a lot of other aspects of health, my nutrition, that I just didn't, that never even crossed my mind. So I think a lot of it is like first bringing awareness to what is there to possibly focus on, and then deciding if that's sort of the route you want to go down and if that's ultimately the kind of person you want to become. Because a lot of times it sounds like, you know, your values basically then dictate your actions and your behavior, and it's sort of this spiral effect.
Yeah, definitely. And that interesting word of prioritizing, it's like super important.
Yeah.
Again, for me, one of my main values is associated with like financial stability, and that was never really a value of mine up until I would say even a couple of months ago.
And
you're probably thinking that's not really a value, but the financial stability to me, it just links to every other value that I have. So for me, I value family, whether that's my own immediate family or my future family, whether it's a wife and kids or whatever it is. That financial stability can provide me with a home. It can provide me, because I live in Thailand and the rest of my family live in Ireland, provides me with the opportunity to fly back and forth whenever I want to fly back and forth. If something bad happens, I don't have to worry about my finances. I don't have to worry about traveling home. The same can be said if I have a wife and kids in the future, which is something that I do want. Then I won't have to worry about my finances. I can spoil my children or put them through a great university or care for their education and everything like that. Similar with a wife, being able to provide everything basically for your family without having to worry about these little things. And again, that links with enjoying your life. So one of my values is enjoying my life, and having $10 million is not going to make me enjoy my life any more than maybe $1 million would. Basically, what it means is I need to figure out what it is that I enjoy in my life and then have financial stability so I can do whatever that is. Now, I don't need to have a private jet. I mean, I'd like one, but I don't really need to have one. What I really enjoy doing in my life is playing sports, hanging around with people that have the same interests as me, taking care of my family, and just doing, it's all small things, I suppose, in my life. And it's trying to figure out how much money do I need to make in order for those things to happen. Yeah. Now, it's not a lot of money, but I need to figure out how much money it is that I need to make those things happen.
Yeah, makes sense. Actually, a lot of what you're talking about reminds me, I don't know if you know this, this internet guy, Tai Lopez. He was like really big. So like when I started getting into like personal development or sort of re-examining myself like 5 years ago, this is when this guy was running these massive Facebook and YouTube ads, and his whole campaign was based around health, wealth, love, and happiness. But they're like super cheesy, like very cringy videos. And like there's so many knockoff memes and like jokes made like because of those videos. But I do really like that premise of like, what are the different areas of your life that you need to focus on? And then within those areas, what are the like KPIs or goals that you need to set for yourself? But not just the goals, what are the values that you need to have around each of those areas? Because it's one thing to set goals, but if you truly don't value that subject area, you probably aren't going to follow through on the goals. And that's a problem for me where it's like, I say that I want what, you know, I say that I want like X amount of money, but I haven't always had a good belief system or value system based around finances. Whereas I feel like I've jeopardized myself in a lot of ways, or I've made massive mistakes that have kind of talked myself out of believing that I'm even worthy or capable of it. And the same could be said for like fitness or weight loss, where like someone who's, you know, maybe they're struggling with being overweight and they haven't really had that breakthrough, or they haven't had that change occur in their life, so that they've essentially talked themselves out of believing that they can make it happen.
Yeah, exactly. It's like knowing their why. For some people who are on a weight loss journey, they want to lose weight, and that, you know, that's the tip of the iceberg, I suppose. But why do you want to lose weight, or what's the reason for it, or what's the reason you want to be on a health and fitness journey? Maybe it might be having more energy. I used to train somebody actually who their goal was to have more energy, and I thought it was a really, really inspiring value that they had. The reason they wanted to have more energy was because they felt that they weren't spending enough time with their kids, and they weren't being able to actually play with this guy's kids at all. So his value was to spend more time with his kids and to enjoy more moments with his kids, and that was something to me that was really amazing. I'd never had a client who had that value or that goal, and he ultimately did absolutely amazingly. Like really, really good, because his value was a strong value, and it was a real core value of his, which was, again, amazing to see. Really amazing.
Yeah, so what are your tips or advice for coming up with these values? Or what else do you have written on it?
I suppose for a lot of them, what does each one of them represent? So my values, I have them down as be a rock and be reliable. So if something bad happens, then I can be the person to go with, or I can be the person to go to seek advice. Because a comment really hit me recently. It was, it was something along the lines of, there's nothing worse than to be a burden. Now, it's obviously horrible to be sick, or if you have an illness, but that's not your fault, but it makes you a burden, and it means that you can't help anyone, that someone is always helping you. But then on the other side, if you can't take care of yourself, if you can't look after yourself physically, mentally, financially, then you're incapable of taking care of anyone else, and you're not reliable. Someone is always going to have to look after you. And that to me is a real strong core value of mine, to be able to be the one who people go to seek help with their problems, I suppose.
Definitely.
Another one that I haven't mentioned is help as many people as possible. So this is the whole reason why I got into the fitness industry. I wanted to come in and I wanted to help people as much as I possibly could. And it started out by teaching fitness or coaching fitness, but it soon became much more about habits and goals and about how to, and implementation essentially. And that again just links in with my financial side of it. The money that I get just represents how well I will be doing. So for example, if I'm making a lot of money, that will mean I'll have helped a lot of people. So they're both linked in together. It's not just about me making money for me. It's about me making money, but me also achieving or
going along with my values and helping as many people as I possibly can. And the last one for me was to enjoy my life. Somebody said to me recently, and it really shocked me, but it made me really think. Somebody said to me that I don't enjoy my life. And I was really defensive at the beginning of it, because I thought, who are you to tell me that I'm not enjoying my life? But when I thought about it and when I really sat down, I kind of got the feeling that I was always looking to what was next and not appreciating what I had right now. I was always doing things maybe that I didn't fully want to do. And that really got to me. So it's something that I'm going to value much more now is to enjoy my life, enjoy the little things that I enjoy, not necessarily what everybody might enjoy, but small things that I enjoy. And I suppose that's what my values are. But to find your own values, again, it's really personal. You just have to ask yourself, what do you really care about? Like, sit down on your own, make some time, make an hour, 2 hours, sit down and think about what really are my values. What do I see myself with? And you know, we get in like a, there's this modern phenomenon that, oh, it's like we don't want to have kids. It's like, I don't have to get married and settle down and have a steady job. I'm going to go and do something else with my life.
I'm going to go to Thailand.
Yeah.
Hang out there.
Yeah.
Oops.
Yeah. But it's not a bad thing. I always thought when I was at home, when I say home, I mean Ireland. I always thought it's not what I want to do. I don't want to meet someone or have kids or have a steady job. It's like, I don't want to do that. But I think that was more of a rebellious thing rather than anything else. So what I'm trying to say in short is, even though I've taken a roundabout way in saying it, is that make sure they're your values and not anybody else's. You're not rebelling against certain societal values, or you're not lying to yourself about your values.
Yeah.
Because that just doesn't work. Really think about what it is that you want from your life, and then ask yourself, probably this is the most important question, and then ask yourself, right now, am I doing what I need to do? Or am I doing everything that's in line with my values? Or am I doing something completely different? And if you're doing something completely different, then it's a very hard life to live by if you have your core values, but you're doing the exact opposite. It's where a lot of tension comes in, personal tension.
Yeah, no, I would add, not even just tension, but like that's what spirals into anxiety, depression, massive amounts of fear and feeling like a failure, and just it conjures up a lot of terrible negative emotion that might not even be conscious. It might be subconscious, but it's going to manifest itself in different ways. And the word that I think Connor's alluding to in his little speech there is congruency. And are you living a life that is congruent with what is actually in your value set or not? And I can definitely attest that it feels horrible not to be congruent, because that has been part of my life before. And it's not nice to know when you want certain things, but you deep down also know that you're not really working towards them, or you're not in line with how you see your life being. So it's important to really think about that.
Yeah, and that exactly what Gabe said, and it's about congruency, and it's about prioritization. So if your real true value is, for example, to help as many people as possible, that doesn't mean that you just do that. You have other values in your life. Maybe you just prioritize one of them. So for example, if you want to help everyone, it doesn't mean that you stop helping yourself.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean that you you live a secluded life on your own. You still go out, still meet your friends, still go to party, still do whatever it is you want to do, but just know what your real value is and make sure you're taking the steps to go in that direction.
Totally.
Do everything you want to do and focus on all of your values. There might be 7 or 8 values that you have, but at the end of the day, know which one is a priority for you and make sure that that is the one that's in your focus. Everything else can be in your vision, but make it a peripheral vision. Dabble in and out of this kind of stuff, but you know the direction you're going in.
Yeah.
And one last point on that, actually. I had this conversation with 2 people the other day, and I want to know what your view on it is, Gabe. So I was talking about my values and where I want to go in life and what I want to do and how successful I'm going to be. And I said that for me, I liked looking behind and knowing where I didn't want to be and where I didn't want to go and how bad life would be if I didn't do anything in relation to my values. And it was good to look forward as well. But then 2 people that I spoke to, they said it was not a good idea to do that, to look back at or to focus on the negative aspect of what you don't want to be. But for me, I thought that there was a real strong feeling of I don't want to be that.
Yeah.
But then the other 2 people, one of them was a health coach, the other 2 people alluded to the point that what happens when I'm far enough away from that?
Mm.
Do I just stop? Whereas if I would focus on where I want to go solely, then I would keep going. Does that make sense?
I got it, yeah.
What do you think? What's your opinion on it?
That's a tough one, man. Because I see both points of view. I think on one hand, it's very useful and almost empowering.
Is it too negative?
Well, it depends what you're motivated by, though. Because I think for some people, it helps to know what is the expression, like you've walked many moons in a man's shoes, whatever. It's like you've tried on different hats of different sorts to know this isn't the right fit for me. And yeah. I've been there, I've done that, I've checked it off the list. It doesn't resonate. And you can definitively say that. You're not going to look back and say, oh, well, what if I had tried that route? Because I think that's a horrible feeling to have. And I'm sort of in the same camp as you, where I would rather have this myriad of experience, knowing that I've tried things that haven't worked.
Mm.
I've worked in a couple different work environments. I've worked in more of a corporate job. I've worked in a gym. I've worked as like in a sort of a shift managerial position. There's been a lot of different settings I've been involved in. And I think it's useful to see different points of view. That said, you are the sum of all of your life experiences, but you're also the stories that you tell yourself. And if you take a lot of negative energy from those experiences, it's going to catapult you forward into the future, and it may come back to haunt you. And that's something I've struggled with, where I have a lot of negative experience that goes along with a lot of positive experience. But the way that I think about things, sometimes I let that negative emotion interfere with allowing myself to feel more positive towards the future or taking action towards the future. So I think that's where the issue comes into play with focusing too much on the past. So it's a very fine balance, and I think you have to know yourself. If you don't look at the past, I think I would almost say you're just joking yourself. You're sort of lying to yourself, because you do have a past, you do have stories. But if you get obsessed with that, that's going to hinder your future growth.
Yeah. That seems to make sense for sure. And again, I generally consider myself a really positive person.
You are.
But it's little things like that make me question myself. It's like, am I a little bit, am I thinking negatively here?
I think, is that the wrong type of motivation that I'm having? I firmly believe that everything that we're doing now, hopefully, will be a success. Even though I said hopefully there. Let's take out the hopefully. Definitely.
Start the show.
Yeah. But I don't know. I just feel it's necessary. Maybe it's like driving in a car where I know which road I'm going. I know I'm going to get there. But it's nice to have that rear view mirror to just in the side of my eye or in the corner. I can see back there where I don't want to be or where I'm going from. And it's not been like super negative experiences at all. It's been mostly positive. But I just know that I know where I want to be.
Yeah. And it's like, but it also makes you who you are too. Like, for example, if you are some, like, I don't know, very secluded, introverted, maybe socially anxious, like computer software guy who struggles with his own like body image, like to then tell yourself, okay, I'm going to be like this spiritual guru and move to Bali and be the next Tony Robbins. Like,
you sounds good.
It sounds great. But again, it's like to make those mental shifts, I think it really is a personal thing. Some people are able to like drop everything and just get pulled in one direction, and then other people, it's going to take time, and you have to like work through some things first to really get past that, to move on to the next thing, or to have those experiences as reference points, which is what you're talking about.
Exactly that.
And like, for someone listening, I think that's another part of this exercise, is not just being clear about the values and writing them down, but also figuring out what kind of person you are, and are you someone who, what is your relationship with the past in your life and the future? What do you find yourself thinking about more? Are you dwelling in the past? Are you thinking about regrets? Are you having questions about what if I hadn't done this? Who will I become? What do I want to do? How am I going to bridge the gap between where I am now and where I want to be? Am I letting myself, my perception of self hold me back? I mean, these are all sort of, I don't know, maybe too up in the air questions, but if you really write them down or get clear on some of the answers, I have no doubt that it'll help move you forward.
Yeah, even thinking about these things are good. Sometimes it might drive you insane thinking about it too much. But you know, for me, and I know for Gabe as well, it's a super interesting topic, and that's why we're talking about it today. And I suppose even though it's been like a little bit serious in the conversation, it's actually something that we both enjoy talking about.
For sure.
You know, and just find out what it is that you enjoy, find the values that you enjoy, where you find happiness or responsibility in your life, and then don't make any apologies for it. Just find out what it is.
Yeah, that's the takeaway. So hope you guys enjoyed it and got some value.
Yeah, and if you have any questions, you can visit us on
Instagram
on Unbreakable Health. And I know Gabe has his company called Stay Fit Asia.
Yeah.
And my company is called Coaching Inside Out. So yeah, give us a message on those, give us a follow, or give us a message on our on this site, Unbreakable Health.
All right, thanks, guys.
Thank you.
See you on the next episode. Hello, and welcome back, everyone. This is your co-host, Gabe. Today, Connor and I talk about values, and not just values in the general sense, but how they relate to your overall health and well-being, along with your finances, mindset, and much more. So I hope you find it interesting. Please give us some feedback if you have it. We're still quite new at this. But with that said, I hope you enjoyed the show. To find out more about us, you can visit our Facebook page at Unbreakable Health. The link will be below, along with the coaching that both Connor and I provide. So my website is www.stayfit.asia. And his website is www.coachinginside-out.com. Hope you guys enjoyed it, and we'll see you on the next one.